This is the 10th anniversary of PEPFAR, the Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief. I thought maybe you could just give us just a kind of a brief history of that and bring us up to date. How has it been going for 10 years?
Well, it is a pretty extraordinary anniversary. 10 years ago, that Congress passed and the President signed the single largest health initiative to fight a single disease in human history. You know, PEPFAR was passed with the support of Democrats and Republicans. You know, a Republican president, you know, proposed it, and people like John Kerry in the Congress were very supportive. And at the time that this proposal was debated, there were about 50,000 people in all of sub-Saharan Africa on AIDS treatment. And the latest figures that came out just this week say that there are 7 million people on treatment, and that's due to PEPFAR, due to the Global Fund, and due to the contribution of countries themselves. It's some of the largest, fastest gains in the history of public health. And it's, you know, it's something that Americans, I think, need to know about and be proud of. And it's also an area where we're on the verge of further advances, particularly on the prevention side, the prevention of new infections that could make dramatic gains against the disease. So it's a good news story, but there's a significant amount to be done.
You know, you have traveled in Africa and sort of seen this stuff on the ground. I've just noticed from just looking, you know, poking around in your past. I mean, what did you see over there? How devastating was the disease, and sort of where are we in the hope cycle after hearing? I can remember just hearing these terrible statistics about infection rates in Africa and countries where the percentage of people infected was so high.
Well, at one point, when PEPFAR was begun, there were really whole countries in Africa that were living in the shadow of death, that had infection rates that were taking doctors and civil servants and teachers. And the very people that made kind of modern society possible. A country like Zambia, at one point, two teachers were dying of AIDS for every one that was graduating from teaching school. You know, this was just not sustainable. These were countries in serious, serious trouble. And the, you know, so I think there was a huge psychological cloud lifted from Africa when large-scale treatment came online, where you know, countries knew they had a future. That doesn't mean that it has solved, you know, all the problems that relate to this. And rates of a new infection are still too high in many places. But it's just extraordinary that you've got 7 million people in sub-Saharan Africa who are living with AIDS instead of dying from AIDS. And that is, you know, it's an exceptional thing. I remember visiting in Addis in Ethiopia, an orphanage early in the crisis, where all the children were HIV positive, all orphans, and every single one of them died, you know, very early in life. And then, you know, seeing the AIDS drugs start to arrive. And then none of the children at that orphanage were dying, and the nuns who ran it were starting to make plans for what they were going to do with children who reached 16 and 17 year old and had to pursue independent lives. It's a problem they'd never had before. So this is it is a massive humanitarian, economic, social achievement that's been a real partnership between America and the countries themselves.
I remember just reading that you told NPR sometime earlier this year that you called it one of the greatest U.S. successes since the Marshall Plan, you know, fighting AIDS and other preventable diseases. Do you think people know about it? I mean, I'd have to say, if I think I'd heard of PEPFAR, I knew it was related to AIDS. I didn't realize the level of success. Do you think people know about it and then are willing to support it going forward?
Well, the contrast is pretty remarkable. Everywhere you go across Africa, in small villages in remote places, people know PEPFAR, and they're grateful to America. You know, America is quite popular on the continent, and this is one of the major reasons. And you know, that's true on AIDS and malaria and some other issues as well. But you contrast that to America, where, you know, American generosity was very much part of this effort. But I don't think many Americans really realize what they've done. They should know about it, and they should be proud of it. This is a case, by the way, that these programs are not just effective, they've been cost effective. And, you know, this is a time of budgetary constraint, but we've got these humanitarian programs account for less than 1% of the U.S. budget. And they gain, America great standing in important parts of the world, and they express our deepest values. And so I think Americans need to know that as well. I would hope that if people want to know more about both these achievements and the need to move forward on some of these issues, that they'll go to one.org, it's a good source of information and also a source of finding out ways to get involved, because one of the problems with this effort, it's been bipartisan, but members of Congress need to hear that Americans care about it. And sometimes those voices aren't loud enough when these issues are considered in the Congress.
Do you have a sense of what President Obama's intention to continue it or support it or, you know, fund it in the budget is going forward?
Well, PEPFAR has not only been a bipartisan commitment, it's been a strong commitment across two very diverse administrations. This program was begun in the Bush administration. It's been continued and expanded in the Obama administration. And they have really set some ambitious goals now, that particularly on the prevention side, that could make a huge difference. You know, you've talked about an AIDS-free generation. And there are techniques that would get us, you know, a long ways towards that goal. You know, early treatment dramatically reduces new infections. And that's expensive, but I think it's a proven technology. Unexpectedly, something like circumcision dramatically reduces new infections. We can prevent mother-to-child transmission in almost all cases now with drugs, and that is a great source of prevention and a huge humanitarian gain when you prevent children from getting this disease. So if we apply all these new prevention technologies together in effective ways, we can bend that curve of new infections downward in a dramatic way. And that's the administration's goal. The question is whether in our current budget environment that it's going to be, we're going to have the type of political commitment that's necessary to make these goals possible. A lot of that depends on whether Americans show they value it.
Are there corollaries, or does what you're talking about correlate to what's going on in the U.S. with infection and treatment? And, you know, needless to say, the script about AIDS has changed from the death sentence to people living with AIDS for the most part. But, you know, AIDS prevention people here would still say infection rates among certain communities are high, and people may have even started to ignore safe sex kind of prevention, et cetera. Does it correlate here, or are we really just talking about this foreign aid program?
No, there are still huge problems in the American context and other Western nations when it comes to AIDS infections. There's always a temptation when you have broad-scale treatment that it could undermine other behavioral issues that relate to prevention, and that would be a serious loss. In the United States, we have also seen over the last 10 years the growth of new AIDS infections in the African American community, and particular problem among African American women. So these are serious continuing challenges in the United States. And there are even at the margin some challenges to access to drugs. But the main problem in America is that still far too many people who have the disease don't know they have the disease. And that, you know, that is the biggest prevention challenge. You know, people need to be routinely tested and know their status in order to change their behavior. And too many people who are transmitting the disease don't know that they're infected. So we do have those challenges here. And we also have a significant emphasis on that in American public health programs at CDC and NIH and other places. I think those efforts are ongoing, but they're still serious challenges there.
I guess also just looking back at this and your involvement in it and seeing its successes worldwide has to be quite a satisfying thing. I mean, I know you're a writer and came at it from that standpoint, and then a political consultant and part of the administration that maybe came up with it. But it has to have been very satisfying to see now 10 years out that you can really point to these great successes.
Well, on this 10-year anniversary, you see a couple of lessons here. One of them is it's still possible to have a great bipartisan goal in America, have it broadly shared by the American people, have it effectively implemented, you know, across two administrations. And so sometimes I read about very divisive things in American politics, often as a columnist. It's just nice to have at least one area of issues that's a safe harbor from the deep polarization of American politics. It's one reason that I wanted to remain involved in it. It's something everyone can agree on and should agree on and should be proud of what America has done. So I think that the achievement itself is important, but it also shows what politics can do, you know, that you can set a high goal, build a broad coalition, achieve significant results. And that's something that's fairly rare in American politics. And this issue, I think, proves what's possible.
All right, great. Well, very interesting talking to you. Thanks so much.